Carlos Campo. Long resume. Prior to here, consultant with the Gates Foundation, the National Hispanic Christian Leadership Conference. Prior to that, Chief Academic Officer, Provost, President at Regent. Prior to that, Chief Academic Officer, Provost, Professor at Southern College of Nevada. And very impressive in all those roles and everything else that comes with that sort of a piece of paper. But it's a particular delight to introduce to you a man that I know seeks after God's heart first and foremost. That's what really brings him to this place and to this pulpit this morning. Is Karen here? Another thing you should know about him, that tells you he's really smart, would be to meet his wife, Karen. Well done. And three great kids. So with all of that, it's just a delight to have him as our president, our leader, a man after God's own heart. Carlos, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, John. Thank you, Roberto, por su oración, por su palabra. Quiero hablar un poco en la lengua de mi padre, ¿sí? La lengua celestial, the language of the heavens, right? Isn't that the old joke, right? The Hebrew and the Greek professor arguing about what the language is going to be, and then they get to the pearly gates, and it's Peter that says, "Hola, ¿cómo estamos? Entramos." You hadn't heard that yet? I guess it's not such an old joke. All right. All right. Please quote me when you... Well, it is a blessing to be here, talk a little bit about identity. And I'm going to kind of use Jonah as that book, a lens through which to see it. You know, if I were constructing a book to help me support a faith in God, Jonah would be the last book I would include in the Bible. Somehow excise this book, right? It just does not fit in any way. It's one of the reasons I love the book so deeply. It is, to me, further evidence that we serve a God who puts a book like this in the midst of us that ends with a question mark. The last word spoken is the word animals. The last thing a human being says is, "I wish I were dead." Right? Praise the Lord. And here it is. Here it is. And I see myself in Jonah. And I, as a student of English, of all things, Carlos, a student of English all these years, there is no better work that will teach a writer how to move from introduction into plot. Here's how it reads. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I mean, we're already into the plot, right? We are already there. We've got it, right? Word of the Lord comes to you, but, that awful conjunction, but, I'm fleeing, right? As if that were possible. Here goes Jonah trying to flee. "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea." Flee from me, will you? That's me. No, that's not it. No, sorry. Want to make sure in case you didn't know the book well. "And such a violent storm arose," sound like crisis coming, "that the ship threatened to break it up. All the sailors were afraid. Each for his own God they pray, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship." Here's a Spanish word, encargado. Let's say it together. Encargado. Say it one more time. Encargado. What does that mean? What does encargado mean? In charge. It can also mean full of stuff, right? It's related to this word cargo. It can mean burden. So encargado con triste, no? I mean, you could be, right? Almost. So you can be in charge. Encargado, that's the cargo. But when crisis comes, what do we throw off the ship? It's one of the wonderful things about crisis. It forces us to know what's essential, right? What can go? What can go? Here comes the crisis. There's the storm. Throw it out. Get rid of it. Here it is. He's in the midst of crisis. Get rid of it. But Jonah had gone below deck. here's a man of God. you guys work it out. I'm going to sleep. Literally what he does. Here's a man with a clear conscience. I'm running from God. You're suffering. I'm going to sleep. Then the captain comes. Would you wake up? I'm glossing a little. How can you sleep? How can you sleep? See, he's in the midst of a crisis. Asleep. In the deck of a ship. Losing its cargo as a result of him. The sailors said to each other, come, let's cast lots. A very old tradition. They cast lots, it falls to Jonah. Tell us, who's responsible? We know it's you. And here are the questions. Here are the questions that come. What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? Where are your people? See, when crisis comes, we strip away to the essential. And this is the way we see people. Give me your social security number, your weight, your gender, marital status, religious, right? Isn't this what we do? It's a tendency that we have as human beings, and to me it's one of the most godless things we do. It's trying to take it. Here I go, I'm throwing things now. You take, here's the Cuban Irishman, lock the doors. We're staying until 10:45. No, I'm kidding. So, see, God creates us in his image. How is it possible? I don't know. Creates us in his image. And I know theologians debate exactly what that means. All we believe, we certainly all can agree, there's something of God in us. How is it possible? Peter sees it and says, go away from me. The minute he senses God, go away from me, Lord. I know myself. Get away from me. Go away from me. I'm a sinful man. See, that's, how is it possible that he put something of him in us? So our identity cannot be five questions. Can't be. It can't be a name. What's your name? Where are you from? Who are your people? See, this is what we do. What's your category? Hispanic. Here's the category. Evangelical, right? Little box. Check it. I want to check them all. I want to check them all. My name is Carlos Campo. What does my name say about me? Something. It does. Something about my past. And it's a treasure. But I remember being in third grade and thinking, I don't want to be Carlos. See, I didn't have my father's beautiful dark skin, his exotic accent. My father, who used to say, my son, how can it be possible that you are an English teacher and I cannot speak English? You see, my father, Jacinto Campillo, was one of these people, one of these fascinating immigrants who, when he came to this country, was chasing a dream because a New York club owner saw him dancing in Havana in 1939, said, if you're ever in New York City, look me up. And 3 months later, my father was on his doorstep. That was my dad. And he blessed me with so many things and cursed me with others. It's the nature of dads. And my name in third grade was a curse. Carlos Campo. See, my father was from a generation, at least of Cubans, who said, I will not speak Spanish in my home, and because I'm learning English. But it was the language of power, still is. In America, it's the language of money. It's the language of power. It's the queen's tongue, maybe the oppressor's tongue, according to some poets and others. That's not what I'm here to talk about. But for my father, it was liberation for his son. It was a way for him to assimilate, to be part of a group, to understand identity differently. But I lost something as I gained something. I lost something of myself. And in third grade, as my head is down, and here comes the roll again. Here it comes. Carlos Campo. She's struggling. She's trying. And she's right. It's fine, right? Is Los Angeles wrong because Los Angeles is the right way to say it? No, it's not wrong. Just different. But here I am thinking, God, let me be Peter or John or anything but Carlos. Because my identity and my name were bifurcated. And I was running from my history, in some ways, my tradition, as I ran from my name. See, it was Juliet who said a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, so Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes without that title. So she says, Romeo, doff thy name, and for thy name, which is no part of thee, take all myself. See, what is a name? 'Tis nor hand, nor foot, nor arm, nor face, nor any other part belonging to a man. So be some other name. That's what she says. What is Montague? Right? What's Montague? What's Capulet? But she's a 13-year-old girl, right, who doesn't understand. What's Montague? What's Capulet? Guess what? You will die because you are Capulet. You will die because he is Montague. What is a name? You think a rose by any other name would smell as sweet? Just try it. Call it a carnation and see if it smells like a rose. You see, in some ways, that's a foolish girl who says something beautiful. It's later when she says, my bounty is as boundless as the sea, my love as deep. The more I give to you, the more I have, for both are infinite. See, there she's speaking the heart of God. It's not Montague. It's not Capulet. There's a love bestowed by God that is so deep, the bounty that is so full, that as you give it, you receive it. It's not a love that Jonah ever knew. Don't know much more about him. He's the son of Amittai. Poor father. Had to get called out in the opening line of the book. My son Jonah. And what's the story? He's going to run from you and beg for death in his anger. You see, my life, my journey into the world of literature has made it clear more in so many ways how we reduce ourselves in crisis to the essential. And God continues to say and breathe into us, you're more than that. You're more than that. You're more than the letter A that you are forced to wear, right? What a stunning novel, maybe the greatest American novel. You're forced to wear this letter of scarlet around your neck, and so many of us carrying some letter, some cargo around with us. Here's my letter A. But what a beautiful tale of the transmutating, I'm making up words now, the transmuting power of God. So that the letter A, the scarlet letter that she wore to represent what? What did that letter stand for? What was the word? Adultery, there it is. Right? Carve it into my forehead. That's who I am. See what you've done? You've reduced me because of one act. And you've said, this is who I am. But do you know that she wouldn't just wear the letter, but she lived out who she was? And before the end of the novel, did you know what the villagers began to say about her? They didn't know. They didn't remember. They couldn't remember why she was wearing the letter A. And when they were asked, they said, oh, that stands for this, a four-letter word. One of my favorites. You know what it is? See, we don't remember that. We remember adultery. See that? One of the messages of the novel. We still don't know it. The word is Abel. See, because on our own, we're not ever able. Only God can do that. Only God can move us from an adulterer to one who is able. May it be said of us, she is able. Through Christ who strengthens her, she is able. See, I met that woman again. John, a gospel writer, spends an entire chapter. Is it possible? He said that the words of Jesus would fill up this book and so many more books, right? But he took a whole chapter and dedicated it to this woman. I don't know her name, but I know her. I know her. I know what she wore when she at noon went to the well. See, women didn't go to the well at noon. Not ever at noon to the well. You don't go to the well at noon. What time do you go to the well if you're a woman? That's right, very early or very late. Never at noon. See, the well is much more than just a place to get water. It's a gathering place, right? Jacob knew that. Some other time we'll talk about that. But Jacob knew that. When you go to find a wife, it's where you go, right? Sorry. But you don't go at noon. There's Jesus. He's there. And he says the words of Jacob in a way. Here's a pickup line in the mouth of any other, but not in our Savior. Woman, would you get me some water? I've heard that line before. I've heard this line. I'm here at noon, so I don't see you. That's why I'm here. I came here to be alone in my solitude. I've come with a vessel to fill it up, and I want to go. And her testimony is one of the most stunning in all of Scripture to me. It's simple, but it's repeated twice. Scripture's laconic. If it adds something again, it is for us to take notice. Here's her testimony. He has told me all the things that I have done. That's what she says twice. Her entire testimony is that. You see, that's the Jesus we know. See, because I have been reduced. So that's why I come at noon. Because the entire village knows me. I'm a Samaritan woman. I'm the dog of dogs. You've come here. And John, you're going to spend an entire chapter about, first of all, a woman already demeaned in this culture. Secondly, a Samaritan, the lowest of the low. A Samaritan woman will fill a chapter and become the greatest evangelist of her day before Christ's resurrection. She transforms a village. Catch up to me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My words are pouring forth. I'm sorry. When I got to Virginia, people said, you've got to slow down. No, they said, you've got to slow down, brother. I don't know where you come from. Are you all right? I'm sorry. I'm trying, trying to pour this forth. See, this is something that God has downloaded into the heart of Carlos Campo because I'm that woman. I'm Hester Prynne. I'm Jonah. All the time. Word of the Lord comes to me, but where's the next ship out of here? Right? Where's my ticket to Joppa? I'm ready to go. Always, always. See, when the Lord tells her all the things that she has done, he is telling her, don't let the five questions paralyze you. He doesn't become some bumper sticker, though. Stop what you're doing, right? Stop the way you're worshiping. You're worshiping the unknown God. That can't be the way. And to me, the most stunning part of that tale is that she leaves her vessel behind. She's come to the Savior who made a promise about a water that is eternal that he can give her. She came for the essential water. She's been stripped to the essential. At noon, by myself, I'm coming for water. Not to talk, not to meet. I've come for water. But see, this is where Jesus finds us. When we've been stripped in crisis to an identity that is not his. He spoke to many. This is recounted for us for those moments when the crisis of identity comes and Jesus says to us, Lord, I have nothing. I have an empty vessel to come to this well. May I leave it here? May I leave the vessel and become the vessel? Because that's precisely what Jesus does. Leave that vessel. It is essential for human life. There's something eternal I want to give you. Leave the vessel behind, become the vessel, and go. To me, it's the greatest lesson of true education, frankly. It's essential in today's climate market, period. But if all we give is that which is essential and we did not give the eternal, we've left off the most important part. Be the vessel. Leave the seminary a vessel for Christ. Leave AU as a vessel for Jesus. It's all that really matters. The world needs a water that can only be replenished by him. Only by him. So when we take up the story, see the most famous parts of Jonah are other parts. He makes a declaration. Who are you? I am a Hebrew, small, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, the one who made the sea and dry land. Big. May that always be part of the identity, always. See, how is it possible that this is the same man, this running, disobedient man, is the same man who makes this declaration, right? Who does the world say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Right? These words that speak to us from eternity to ask us that question with every breath we take, everything that we do, what is our identity? Right? What are our distinguishing features? Just you. Just you. What are the things that are just you? Fingerprints? Right? Just you. No one else has your fingerprints. You know, specialists say, though, that if you work very hard, you actually can callus these to the point where they don't serve any purpose any longer. There's a biometric keystroke that only you have. Did you know that? That no one else types just the way you do, so that educators, when you talk about online education, it's one of the ways I can identify whether you are typing your paper. We can identify your biometric keystroke in about 12 minutes. No one else types the way that you do. No one else does. No one else walks exactly the way that you do. Experts say your gait is different. Mine's changed a little over the years. It's still mine. It's my gait. Yeah, I know. John and I both have gait stories to tell, right? Your gait's changed a little over the years, a few replacements. Scientists say the best marker of all is your ear. Didn't know this until recently, but it's probably the way we will be measured. Our ears fully formed when we come from the womb. Our lobe drops a bit, but the curvature and the way that it can be measured is the most perfect way. Better than a retinal scan is a biometric reflection of your ear. God, what else is uniquely mine? What else is uniquely mine? What is your imprint upon me? Who have you made me? These are the questions we ask, our students ask. What a blessing to come alongside and help work through. an answer. I wish I had time to read Jonah's prayer from the belly of the fish. It's one of the most beautiful prayers. I try to read it often. It's one of the most beautiful prayers. How is it possible? The same man. See, it's the reflection of the beauty and the power of this God. I'm a Hebrew. I serve this eternal God, right? This is the God who, the judgment of Nineveh, the forgiveness of God. What will come in this story? What will come? Do we serve a God of judgment or do we serve a God of mercy? And of course, the answer is yes. Right, right. Figure him out. Good luck. Let's hit start right now. Let's work together. But see, Jonah will come full circle back to his identity. I think often about the last chapter of the book. But to Jonah, after God forgives, to Jonah, this seemed very wrong. How nice. How nice. And he became angry. He prayed, "Isn't this what I said, Lord? Didn't I tell you? Do I hear my mocking voice in Jonah? Didn't I tell you, Lord, I knew that you would do this again." Right? How, through gritted teeth, can he even speak these words? "This is why I tried to forestall. Isn't this what I said when I was still at home?" See, this is it, isn't it? What is that phrase? At home. What is that phrase? And where does our identity, our name, our being, the five questions, how does all of that fill up into this phrase? At home. At home. How? Where? How does it happen? Right? What is this dichotomous life that we live where we are never at home here? Never. Our home, our citizenship is elsewhere. Never at home, and yet this deep desire, wherever we go, let me be at home here. Where was your home, Jonah? Where was your home? Wasn't in Nineveh, was it? Was it? These aren't your people, are they? That's really what this is about, isn't it? Isn't it, Jonah? Isn't that what it's about? This isn't your home. Only in your home can you be welcoming. I'm sorry. Only in your home can you be at this place where you can invite the others, where you can say to someone, "See, the God that I serve, this Hebrew God that called me to this place, he's big enough to be a home for you too." See, when Esmeralda is caught up by this creature, by this Quasimodo, and he goes to a church, I'm sorry, I can't help myself. When he goes to a church, when he goes into a chapel, and he screams the word sanctuary. Let's pray. Father, we are a broken people, and we are so often bound up in names and designations and labels and five questions. And we serve an eternal God who spoke creation into being. How, Lord? How? You speak life even when it appears there is only death around us. You give us an identity and tell us all the things that we have done, all of them, Lord, and still you love us, your mercy flowing through us. God, help us to be that seminary. Help us to be that university, not bound by labels, not bound by expectations, but unbound by the living water that Christ wants to fill our bellies with. Lord, let us leave this place as your wells, Lord. Fill us up so that we can literally pour out to others, Lord. It's why we're created. It's why we're here, not to be in a category beyond what you've called us to be. So help us to be that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Campo. We've been praying as a worship team all week that the Holy Spirit would come and fill this place. And I am grateful to say, and you can say amen with me, that the Lord has filled this place. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's stand and